If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 130, and we will read this together. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So Psalm 130 is entitled A Song of Ascents. Now, it's in a group of 15 psalms which have the same title, Psalms 120 through to 134. Four of them are written by David, one by Solomon, and the other 10 are anonymous. And these songs of ascents were basically pilgrim songs, songs which the children of Israel or the Israelites would sing on their journey up to Jerusalem, journeys which they made several times a year for various feasts of unleavened bread, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These songs they sang on their journey to encourage themselves and to encourage each other. And as we look at this briefly this evening, I hope that we will all be encouraged in our journey through this life, in our journey towards that new Jerusalem. So let's turn to verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. It says, out of the depths. If you think of someone struggling to keep afloat, someone floundering in the water, struggling to keep their head above water. Now, in business terms, we've heard many times over the past few years of businesses going into administration and then going under. It's where they're completely gone. That's the end of that business. And this gives the impression of someone struggling so much that they cannot help themselves. And what do? They cry out. They cry out to the Lord. And the things what they struggle with, and the things of this world, the things of sin, these are the things which we struggle with in our lives. We find that sin drags us down. Besetting sin drags us down. That's the main thing, really, that we struggle with. And there are other concerns at home and at work. The concerns of this life also drag us down. They weigh us down. But we are to cry out to our Lord. And of course, we plead with the Lord, don't we? We plead that he would hear our voices, that he would let his ears be attentive to our pleas. This is the voice of my supplications. We're pleading with the Lord. Now we must look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're like me, you might struggle to relax in water. If you go swimming in the sea, generally you're trying to stay somewhere where you can touch the ground. But just being able to relax in waters is a great thing. I mean, if you can't, you'll tend to kick about frantically and try and stay afloat. But if you lean back and just relax, you don't actually have to do a lot to stay afloat. In fact, you have to do very little. And when you lean back, there's only one place where you're going to be looking. You can't be looking down. Your face will be in the water. There's only one place to look, and that is up. And that's what we must do. As we cry out, we must look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to him. That's the only place we can look when we cry out. If we go to the beginning of these Songs of Ascent, which is Psalm 120, if we look at that one and Psalm 121, look how they start. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Psalm 121. I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. They're looking to God. These people are encouraging each other as they're going on this journey to Jerusalem, which isn't an easy journey. It's pretty much all uphill. But they're encouraging each other to keep looking unto the Lord. Now, our lives will not be free from sin. Our lives will not be free from the things which weigh us down, which try, in essence, really, to drag us under. We will not be free from these things. But the next verse, it says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Now, iniquities, our sins, will be marked and dealt with on the day of judgment. Now, we know that we can read that throughout all the scripture, that sin must be dealt with. But in verse 4, amazing thing it says, but there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. Forgiveness is available to all until that time of judgment. It's available to you and to me. And it's full forgiveness. Later on, I think in verse 7, it says abundant redemption. It's plentiful. Forgiveness entirely. We can be entirely forgiven. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful that we can be forgiven and we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness? Every last ounce of sin can be taken away from us. Let's move on to verse 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says this, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord. That's a promise that will come to pass really to those who wait upon the Lord. Those who look to the Lord. They are waiting for the day of his grace, the day of his power. And ultimately, of course, we are waiting for the day of his coming. But in this day, of course, while we are still here, while the Lord is tarrying, while he's not while he has not yet come, we are looking unto him, and we are waiting. Now, this waiting for the more than those waiting for the morning, this is speaking of shepherds who are basically out in the hills, looking over their sheep at night time. And of course, they would look forward to that morning, to that sunrise, when it's either someone else will come and take over from them, or when it's a lot safer anyway. It's going to be safer. The light has appeared. All the dangerous animals probably would not attack in daylight. So they were looking forward to that time of safety or a time of rest. Some of you probably do night shifts. And I've never done anything like that myself, not any night work. But I can imagine doing a night shift, everything's dark outside, and you just look forward to the morning, seeing that sunrise, knowing that soon you will be able to go home, you'll be able to have a rest. Looking forward to that dawning. And we are looking forward to that dawning of a new day in the New Jerusalem, in heaven. That's what we as Christians should be looking forward to, isn't it? Waiting for the Lord and looking forward to his appearing. Because our hope is in him. Our hope is in his word. It's in his finished work on the cross at Calvary. Now, the Lord cannot and will not lie. His word is truth. Everything we learn about him is truth. And this is how we are to encourage each other, isn't it? We direct each other to God's word, the word which he speaks to us today. Because his word does continue to speak to his people. That's why we call it a living word. And it's also how we get to know him, isn't it? It's how we get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, by reading about him, by reading about his promises, by reading about his plans, although we don't know extensively his plans, but we know that he is coming again. And that is what we should be waiting for. So in verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. The psalmist here is encouraging all Israel, all Christians, to you, to me, to hope in the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, we're still encouraged to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And we will have that hope. We will have that wonderful prospect of one day being with him. We are to look unto him where there is mercy and abundant redemption. Plentiful redemption. Redemption from all of our sins. Everything that we have done wrong, everything that we have done that has offended Almighty God. And we are told, aren't we, in his word, that his grace is sufficient. The work that Jesus has done on that cross is sufficient to save me from my sins. It's sufficient to save you from your sins. It's plenteous, sufficient for all. You, me, everyone. It's sufficient. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That's verse 8. He shall redeem Israel. It says he shall. You know, it's not something that there's no uncertainty there. He will redeem Israel. Now, the Israel here, of course, it's speaking about Israel, but in a spiritual sense, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, then you are part of that kingdom. You are part of the kingdom of Israel, because we are his children. We are cleansed from all of our iniquities, past, present, and future. That's an amazing thing, that is, to have all sins forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who wait upon God for his grace, for his mercy, we're guaranteed peace, aren't we? Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18 says this: blessed are all those who wait for him. God will be gracious. God is gracious. God is love. And he will redeem all those who cry out to him. All those who cry out to him from the depths of their sin. All those who cry out to him in great difficulty, whatever that difficulty may be. The Lord will hear, the Lord will answer.